Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Look, stock up for the weekend. It's going to be a little chilly this weekend. Probably get a warm feeling watching sunshine at Augusta National. You can do that. And then, of course, you can get it all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Binghamton Mets taking on the Red Sox affiliate, the Portland Sea Dogs, and Tim Tebow at the plate.
Pitch. Swing a high fly ball, deep right, forget it. Are you kidding me? A three-run blast by Tim Tebow in his first Double-A plate appearance. The Rumble Ponies take a 5-0 lead.
Call him up. Call him up, that's it. He's going to make the trip around Double-A, and that means if he snicks it out in Double-A, that means trips to Reading, Harrisburg, Altoona. How about that? Good for him.
Rumble Ponies. Dig that nickname. That's.
Yeah. Yeah, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Sure. Well, you know what's happened? You know, it's been a trend over and over and over again. And I can speak to this because of the State College Spikes. You have minor league teams taking their own name just in case there is a change in affiliation. I mean, let's go back years ago. Let's say Williamsport's a good example. Williamsport has been the Indians, they've been the Mets, they would just change the nickname of the team based on the affiliation. Well, you now notice ever since they've come back and have been they've been the Williamsport Crosscutters. Well, they've changed affiliation since being the Williamsport Crosscutters, but they've stayed the Williamsport Crosscutters the entire time. That's the brand. So you got the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, Portland Sea Dogs. Is it the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders? That sound right?
That's correct.
So, I mean, because they're just trying to brand, get their own brand out there. The brand is really important. If you can just keep marketing, for example, here, State College Spikes started as an affiliate. Then for 6 years, they were a Pittsburgh Pirates affiliate. Then they went back to being a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. But they've been the State College Spikes the entire time. So that's never changed. And I think that's just part of, I mean, so the Rumble Ponies, geez, I hope they had a contest for that. The Rumble Ponies. All right, very quick look here. the Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports may not have the Condoleezza Rice report's coming out on the 25th of April. At least that's when it's being presented. And what's interesting about it is he was able to talk Dennis Dodd to Bruce Rasmussen, the Creighton athletic director, who also happened to be, by the way, the NCAA tournament selection committee this year. Referenced him a couple times because Dick Girardi and I had a couple long talks with him at the end of February and in early March. Good guy, smart guy. Now, this is the commission roster that's been put together. Condoleezza Rice, Mary Sue Coleman, Martin Dempsey, Mark Emmer, Jeremy Foley, Jeffrey Hathaway, Grant Hill, Father John Jenkins, Mike Montgomery, Bud Peterson, David Robinson, Catherine Rumler, Gene Smith, and John Thompson III. And that's the committee that's looking into what to do. And some of this may spill over into basketball as well and could have an effect on all the other sports in the end, in some way, depending on what they want to do with this. Now, Rasmussen is not a part of the decision-making process by the Rice Commission. But his committee is going to be briefed on the commission's progress shortly. And Rasmussen told Dennis Dodd that, he says, quote, "My feeling is this, we spend too much time on one and done." So there's an old Chinese proverb, no matter how pure the lake is, if the stream flowing into the lake is polluted, the lake will soon be polluted. He says, we have to get control over basketball from ages 10 to 17. If we do a better job of getting control of basketball from 10 to 17, I think we'll have a lot fewer problems in college. I think we can. Now, it's interesting. Derek Williams, who joins Jack Hamm and me on the Football Network, his son Kingston is 6 years old, is already getting his toe dipped into the AAU circuit at 5 and 6 years old, 7 years old. And he tells Jack and me about this all the time. Now, it sounds like there are certain areas that they want to delve into. And one of them may be, and it's a contentious issue, do you allow student-athletes in football and men's basketball, and this is a basketball commission, but if they allow this in basketball, they have to allow it in football too. Do you allow them to have agents? Now, you would not term them as agents. Again, the ability to use language is important. These would be under the category of not agents, but advisors. Okay, they would be called advisors, and they'd have to register. They'd have to be accountable to the NCAA. Summer camps are an issue. If a shoe company wants to run a summer camp tournament, they can, but coaches can't be there. That's something they're looking at. All right. July, of course, is the critical evaluation period. Now the question is, and this is one we brought up before, there is a feeling now that the NCAA is not expected to go as far as allowing players to capitalize on endorsements. So, that's interesting, if that were to be true. Now, let's talk about the unintended consequences of it. Let's say basketball star Kevin Herr from Washington, D.C. Everybody wants him, all right? Remember, I always talk about unintended consequences. So you've got to, when you lay out a proposal, you have to go through and say, okay, now wait a minute. Now, what are the unintended consequences of this? There's something in here that just doesn't quite make this the best route to go. You have to put it out there and discuss it. So say you're allowed endorsement money. You know, you want to do a car ad, you want to do whatever. Now, to me, for the most part, that seems okay. But here's one unintended consequence of it. Sean and I go out and we recruit basketball star Kevin Herr. After doing so, we get fired as soon as they see him. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. So we recruit him. He's best player in the country, one of the top 10 players in the country. Under the endorsement rules, what is to keep, okay, brand name shoe company, from giving recruit Kevin Herr $100,000 in endorsement, and it turns out he's going to my school because we happen to be that brand name shoe school? So what's to keep him from having $100,000 in endorsement and then going to that school in a steering, which of course is what the FBI is bringing up? I have to wonder if that's one of the unintended consequences of this, that they're trying to stay away from it. Now, Bruce Rasmussen does bring up the one-and-done thing. He says, look, that's not as big an issue. Yeah, it is an issue. And it's an issue for this reason. I want people to go play college basketball who want to be in college. You see what I'm saying, Sean? I want people to... And this has always gone back to the point I've made whenever Penn State has gone through a coaching change in football or basketball. I've always made this point first to any person who's been involved that has asked my opinion on selection. And anytime, it's the first thing I brought up. I want somebody, first and foremost, that thinks the Penn State job is the job. I don't want somebody who thinks Penn State's the stepping stone to something else. I want the person that takes the Penn State job, I don't care what sport it happens to be, but in this case it would be football and basketball. And I've always told anybody that's asked, I want the person that thinks the Penn State job is the job. Well, it's the same thing in terms of the student athlete. I don't want college basketball to be a way station. I'll spend my year and then go. Look, you want to go to the NBA? Go to the NBA. That's great. I'm perfectly happy with that. If you want to be Kevin Garnett, you want to be LeBron James, you want to be Kobe Bryant, you're good enough, and they think you're good enough because they draft you, to bypass college and go straight in, go. But again, the NBA... and the NBA Players Association, they're the ones that have to straighten that out. They're the ones that have all the power to take care of that. I'm really not enamored with people playing college basketball that really don't want to be in college. So I'd rather see them go straight to the NBA because that's where they want to be. And I'm perfectly happy with that because that's where they want to be, and go ahead, give it a shot. Fulfill your dream. I want everybody to fulfill their dreams. I mean, I've had fun fulfilling dreams here. Sean has. I mean, the suit's always wanted to be a digital media guy. I mean, look where he is now.
Yeah, living the dream now. I mean, we weren't on yesterday and Wednesday because of the Phillies, so we had a few extra days to digest the big Tony Carr announcement from earlier this week. And you just kind of sit down and think, wow, a Penn State sophomore basketball player is going to the NBA. I mean, that sounds really cool. That sounds really cool. And now, obviously, not soon. Penn State's not going to turn into a one and done school like, you know, some of those down south. But it's just great that you have more of a top quality player now in Penn State, in the Jordan Center, bringing more people in. And it's like what you were saying too, not too long ago. You know, the back end of the home schedule, they were averaging what, 11,000 plus. Which is wonderful. Those are the numbers that you want to see. And you want to see more great basketball, and the team has finally turned the corner.
Well, it turned out that he developed at a rate that by the time he hit the middle of his sophomore year, he looked around and said, maybe I can do this. And, okay, that's fine. You know, he wasn't a one and done. He stayed. He knew he had, you know. And he just made himself that much better. Now he's going to get himself into the upper, I think, has a chance to be a first-round pick, maybe an early second-round pick. We'll see how it plays out at the combine. Again, my only concern about Tony with an agent was I felt that Tony, no matter what evaluation he got, was going to stay in the draft. So I didn't expect him to come back to Penn State at all. I mean, I've kind of thought that maybe since mid-January. Just like about mid-January, I felt strongly Mike Watkins wasn't going to be going. I mean, look, Mike said it says enough things in practice. Like, Coach, I got to work on this summer. You're going to have to help me with this. When you hear a guy at practice saying that, that means they're coming back. And, but I would not have hired the agent if I were him, only for this reason. The argument against coming back to Penn State is what? Okay, could you lose your draft status? Or you might get hurt. Okay. Well, that's the same argument for not hiring an agent. What if you go to the combine and get hurt? What if that happens? Now you're not going to be drafted and there's no fallback. You can't go back to Penn State for another year. That was my only argument against him getting an agent. It's the only thing I argue. But you can't use it in recruiting anymore. Can't look at Penn. You can't look around and say, oh, Penn State, you can't get to the league from here. Because they all want to go to the league. They all do. But again, the vast majority of athletes in this thing, all right, they all want to get to the league. But some have that dream in high school. And, of course, I got people around them chirping in their ear all the time. Hey, yeah, you're going to get to the league. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. Look, if you want to go straight to the league, go ahead. I mean, I wish the NBA would just open it up. The NBA just doesn't want to scout high school games. I got it. That's expensive. Traveling all over the... I mean, think about how much money baseball puts in. Look at all the high school players and the junior college players and the NAIA players that baseball scouts. I mean, baseball spends a ton on scouting. Venezuela, Dominican Republic, Japan, South Korea. I mean, they're all over the place trying to find talent. These scouts are everywhere. You should see the roster of universities that I get when I start a Spikes season as to where these players were. And I think I've made the comment several times on the Spikes broadcast. If you can play, they will find you. Well, the NBA doesn't want to exhaust all those resources going to high schools. They don't want to do that. That's why the ownership was able to win the... They wanted 2 and 20 years of age, and the compromise was 1 year and 19 years of age. That was the compromise. But again, the part on how deep do you allow shoe companies to get into this, and I'm wondering if when it comes to endorsement money, if that is the rub. And I think part of that is going to be, obviously, if the top 15 players go straight to the NBA, what's to keep shoe companies from getting involved in 16 through 30 in the college level? See what I'm saying? So there's always going to be a domino effect. So I'm wondering if that is the rub here about not being able to capitalize on your likeness because they're worried about the mega money that shoe companies, because that would be an endorsement, might get involved with. And keep in mind too, every university take themselves, okay, every athletic department, they all take shoe money. Because, yeah, look, you want to, if A, it's money, B, it's also who's providing the footballs, who's providing the basketballs, who's providing the jerseys, who's providing the pants, who's, you know, who's providing the socks, who's providing the sneakers, the cleats, things like that. Right, so it's a, you know, believe me, it's a big win for everybody across the board. Who's providing the gear? And believe me, the players love the gear. And they should. But they've got to come up with a model that works. This Rice Commission, at least, I think is an important step, because I think there are enough people on there where they're very thoughtful people that are looking at this. Because everybody knows, I mean, today is the, on this day in sports history, this is the day that the Olympics were revived in 1896 in Athens, on this date. The Olympics that we see now are a far cry from 1896 when they were all pure amateurs competing. There are no amateurs competing in the Olympics now. I mean, where are the amateurs competing these days other than the U.S. Amateur Golf Championship, the British Amateur, things like that? I mean, that's different. But everybody else competing is professionals. I mean, Wimbledon used to be, I mean, you couldn't be paid to be at Wimbledon. Couldn't. I mean, 1960s, they had this big fight over pros versus amateurs at Wimbledon about getting prize money. I mean, that's 50 years ago. It's all changed now. Well, now you got to, now do you, can you put together a college model that still has enough elements of amateurism in it with enough leeway to make it palatable for the student athlete that's putting so much into it? Beyond, obviously, the extremely important education component. They are, in terms of the argument and the public perception, or the argument that the media versus what the media narrative versus what the NCAA narrative is, they don't match up. And the NCAA is not winning the GoPro in things other than sports argument. They're not winning that. And the reason they're not winning it is because there's a $716 million a year TV contract with the NCAA. And there's a $105 million surplus with the NCAA. You can't win the argument when you have those kind of numbers. You can't. I can go through all the athletic departments and you see, you know, you see surpluses, and as much as I tell you, because I have knowledge of it, that they're really spending virtually every dime they get. And of the 13 known budgets in the Big Ten, Northwestern's a private school, so their numbers aren't reported. Six of the 13 are losing money. Six of the 13 athletic departments in the Big Ten reporting are running deficits. Where's the money to pay anybody? We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. And the Brewers Outlet Beer of the Week, Yuengling Lager and Light Lager. 24-pack cans, just $15.55. They also have wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very quickly, Patrick Reed, the leader at the Masters at 7 under par. Two shots better right now than Mark Leishman. Dustin Johnson just birdied 18. He finished at 3 under, so he's right in the thick of it. And if you're wondering about Tiger Woods, he is at 4 over par now, playing 11. And Phil Mickelson's at 5 over par and done for the day. And Mickelson's on that right near that cut line. Jordan Spieth, bad start. And then, to show you the kind of player he is, steadied himself. He is now at 4 under par for the tournament, even though he shot a 2 over 74 today. And Rory McIlroy's right there as well. All right, so there you go. There's your update. We now bring in the Sultan of SWAT. Long before they ever thought of Giancarlo Stanton as being that. My brother.
Who's playing you in the movie?
There will be no watching in the movie in this house.
Oh,
I don't need
bad.
Barry Levinson's interpretation of things I know. Well, I'm not going to watch that.
Well, no. Have you heard? Is it bad?
I can't imagine it's good. So.
Well, no. It may be a good show, a good light of Joe Paterno.
I've seen a few comments online. I guess people that got maybe advanced copies of the movie. Could this be the one time Al Pacino would just walk in there and just be there to get a paycheck? They didn't really put all that into it that he should have.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if that's one angle or if that's legitimate or not, because obviously I...
Well, we don't have HBO, so...
Neither do I, so that's my easy out for me, but I wouldn't watch it anyway. I don't need to be told by Barry Lewis, where I have a little bit more knowledge than he does.
Did they consult you?
No.
Who would play you? I think Brad Pitt would play you. Okay? Jack Black
Jack Black?
Yeah, it's Sean to me because you're a music guy. And The Rock would play me.
Yeah, sure. You are kind of a jabroni up there in Connecticut. So.
Oh man.
Let's see. Brad Pitt with the kind of shades in the role of Steve Jones. Yeah. Yes. No.
Perfect.
Maybe. Kind of. Sorta.
I think it's perfect.
Well, look. When I'm on the radio, I could look like Brad Pitt.
Oh, you just tell people you do. I mean, he's the closest thing to you.
I mean, radio doesn't do me justice.
That's right. There you go.
I've fallen into that same category too since 83.
I mean, really, the only TV
the only radio person I know that should be on TV is the suit. I mean, it's obvious.
Who?
The suit.
The suit.
Oh, the suit.
Our boy.
Oh, I didn't know that. So, oh, you guys could be on TV.
He absolutely should be on TV. You want to know why?
Why?
It would get him out of the radio station. All right, so.
You should simulcast.
They talked at one time, didn't they, Sean, about putting a Facebook camera in here or something like that.
Okay.
Skype or something.
Sure.
Long time ago they did.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, all right.
We could have like one show a week. You know, kind of like Major League Baseball now on Facebook. They got one game a week, one show a week on Facebook.
Yeah.
Really?
The Mets on Facebook. Are you kidding me?
I think another Phillies day game at the end of this month, they're going to be back on Facebook again. I think the next time they have a middle-of-the-week day game.
They play Major League Baseball on Facebook?
Yeah, there's one game a week, either Wednesday or Thursday afternoon matinees. There's going to be one game a week on Facebook. So, the Phillies-Mets game on Wednesday, it was not on TV. It was exclusively on Facebook Watch. So you can catch one game a week on Facebook Watch. Yes. What was that number you said, Steve? 2 dozen? 25 games? Something like that? Was the deal?
Yeah, 25 games. 25 game contract.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Well,
breaking
that means
new ground.
All the players' identification will get robbed of the Facebook.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Kevin, because yesterday on the broadcast, Larry Anderson was in the booth with Scott Fransky, and Scott asked LA, did you watch the game on Facebook? And he said no. I guess he tried, and then he thought about, well, because that's been the big thing with Facebook in the news these days about, you know, breach of identification, that kind of deal. And he thought twice, and it's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. He didn't want to go through the extra hoops to bring it up on his phone.
Yeah, they got two lax in what they do. I don't like Facebook. I don't like how you can berate people and do whatever you want on it, and the person can't really fight back, you know? You can say whatever you want about people, and I don't know. It's like eating cake is good, but too much cake, no good.
Well, this has always been my issue about comment sections or message boards. All right, and it's only been one singular issue. I don't care what your opinion is. I've never liked the anonymity of it. Where you put down some whatever your handle has. Then under that, it's amazing how emboldened people become when you don't attach your name to it.
Right. And then it's like people read headlines. They read this, that, and that. Oh, that person's that. You know? And that's what creates the bullying in schools and, I don't know, whatever. It's not sports. Willy-willy.
Right. I mean, that's the only part. I don't mind people having opinions. The whole difference, for example, we had on the show Friday, we had David Jones on the show, right? So the show from the Patriot News. It has always been a lightning rod for a lot of fans out there by his opinions. But the one thing David does do, his name, he attaches his name to all of his opinions.
Right.
And on this show, my opinion, you may not agree with anything I say here.
I don't.
But I attach my name to my opinion. Oh, I know you don't. You never have.
You could attach I've got whatever to give you, a you good want one. To it. I don't agree.
You don't agree with it. What if I attach money to it?
I agree.
You change your mind then. Suddenly out of nowhere, that critical sway happens.
It's like Family Feud. Great answer. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, now did you see this? The Denver Post, one of the respected newspapers.
Hello.
Now we lost connection with Steve. Yeah, we posted earlier today.
So in the life
there
and cult.
There we go. Hello.
You with me?
We're good, Kevin. We're good.
There
he
is.
Yep.
All right. So in the life and culture section. In the life and culture section of the Denver Post, right, they want to give you the ultimate visitor's guide to Coors Field. And they've got a huge picture on the cover of it on the Denver Post. It is Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Phillies Park. It's the wrong park. They put the wrong stadium up.
Yeah. How about that one? Yeah, wrong park. All right. You would figure the Denver Post has shots of Coors Field somewhere in the archives.
Yeah. The intern hit the wrong button.
Friggin' interns.
Oh, brutal.
No, just chose the wrong picture and it was the wrong time to hit publish.
Oopsie.
Yes. we actually posted the story on our WKOK Facebook earlier this week, and that's how we titled it. Whoops. That was the best thing Matt Catrillo could come up with, but actually, I mean, it's very accurate
and
clever.
You wonder why I comply. I mean, you wonder why I complain in this business about not enough people having chops. Something as simple as that. You can't find a picture of Coors Field.
Wow.
Well, you definitely can. You just Google it and you have it in 5 seconds. But how can you? You know, it's easy to differentiate between the two.
You can Google anything.
Well, sure. I mean, just look for all that purple that's lined in the stadium. Yeah, I mean, you'd be able to tell the difference.
I don't know. How about them Red Sox, huh? Steve?
I watched some of that game yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. I did. I watched some of it yesterday. We have a little delay in between here, so we apologize for that.
Yeah.
One of those days, we apologize.
Well, I'm just not good at it. I don't know.
I watched it. I watched the ninth through the day because the game was on here. It was on MLB.
Hmm.
I mean, they're pitching really well. I mean, that's why they're up to a good
start. They're not playing anybody either. I think it's going to be one of those years where there's some really good. There's like six good teams, and then some really really weak teams. Tampa Bay and Miami are horrible.
Yeah, they're bad. Yeah, I think the Red Sox hit them at just the right time.
Well, you know what? You got to win these games. I'm one who thinks I hate it when people say, "Oh, it's just a game in April." Boy, when you're one game out at the end of the year, that game in April's huge. You got to win every game you're supposed to win, and they're doing that, and that's good. So, but it's just hard to judge your pitching
completely
right now
agree
or
with
anything
that.
Based
completely
on
agree
the
with
competition,
that.
Huh?
I completely agree with that.
So, no, it's just, but you got to win everything you got to win, but it's hard to
too much
judge
delay
how
to
good
that.
You are right now because you're not playing a strong competition, but, boy, the Yankees are deep.
No, that's exactly right. Oh, God, the Yankees, their lineup is so deep, it's stunning.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen three hitters put together like that. Sanchez, what's his name, Judge, and the guy they just got. I haven't seen Stanton, three players stacked up in a lineup like that in a long time. Now, if they stay healthy, man, if you're an opposing pitcher.
I mean, you got like, three guys in the lineup look like they take a Volkswagen and toss it over a hedge.
Yeah, or play catch with it. Throw it back and forth. These guys are huge.
I know. And I mean, Judge looks like he could be a power forward on a basketball team.
Yeah, he's a great athlete, too. But I don't know about the Yankees pitching. How about that kid
Patrick
from the California
Reed is...
Angels?
No.
From Japan?
Oh, Otani?
Yeah.
Otani, he pitches, does well, hits home runs, does well. And not only that, has agreed to be a part of the WKOK softball team this summer.
Yeah. Put him in, coach. He's ready to play. Yeah, I mean, if you're an Angels fan, I mean, how cool would it be to, you have the right ticket for the right game. You know, it's like if you want to be to a game, yeah, we've got to be there for the night that he's pitching.
It's really who's the last player who's done that?
I wouldn't DH. I'd let him hit.
I think he needs one day off after pitching, and then he can DH.
Well, there's a prospect in the Tampa Bay organization named Brendan McKay, and Brendan McKay is a guy that he pitches. He was the fourth overall pick out of Louisville. He was the National Player of the Year. He hit the longest home run I saw last year. In fact, the longest home run I've ever seen in our ballpark. He hit it like 448 feet over the right field fence. But he also pitches, and they're thinking about using him through the minor leagues as pitching and hitting.
Why not? If he can do it, why not? Why not? I think it's one of those things, you do it until it doesn't work, and then you got to pick one or the other. But, man, how valuable in the National League.
Yeah, and Steve, you brought up a great point. Maybe it could come up a point in time later down the road. The Angels could be in a situation. Yeah, why don't we just put him in the DH role and see what he does?
Well, they're using
Let him pitch at all? Yeah. In other words, DH him on the day after pitching.
Well, I guess in Japan, they have 6 days rest or something between starts.
They do.
So that it kind of works out well, you know. He probably have to sit the day after a start, but because you still got to protect him. But after that, he can DH until he pitches again. But why not DH while he's pitching? I don't know. I'm not a trainer, but...
I'd be curious the kind of reaction they would get in Japan if they would put him in that sort of role on the team, just with the swarm of Japanese media that's there just to cover that guy and that guy alone on the team.
I know. Well, they're DH-ing him now. He's got two home runs, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, you saw how...
Hey, he's off to a great start.
I didn't hear what he said there.
He said that he's off to a great start with two home runs already.
No, he is off to a great start.
Yeah, two home runs.
Oh, he's got two home runs. I mean, not only that, they're long home runs. He's been fine as a pitcher. What the heck? I mean, it's a fun thing to watch and to see, and hopefully he continues to do well at it. DHing him, that also means if you DH him, that you probably have to play Albert Pujols field. So,
some people say they should let him play the outfield, too, because he's an outfielder.
Yeah, I mean, what the heck? Let him go ahead. Play him every day.
You know what? Baseball needs us.
It's more fun.
Baseball needs us. They need it. They need a go-to thing that kids will tune in and watch. Because baseball is boring on TV.
So what position did he play more in Japan? Did he play outfield more? Or was he then pitcher. Okay, outfield. Okay,
yeah.
Well, then that makes sense then. Well, that makes sense.
Outfield. He played outfield.
Why not let him play some outfield?
Yeah, he played outfield.
Yeah. He's a tremendous athlete. They say his swing's like Ichiro.
Yeah, the heck, let him do it.
Yeah. He's got a quick bat like Ichiro.
It is.
He's not as fast as Ichiro. Yeah. He's got tremendous power.
Yeah, no, I've seen. I've seen him play, and he has. First of all, Ichiro's a more compact player, and he has that same kind of swing and step into it. Except he's got. I mean, he turns those hips and he drives the ball.
I think it's great for baseball.
Absolutely. Aaron Judge is good for baseball. I think Gary Sanchez is good for baseball. Otani's good for baseball. Mike Trout's good for baseball. Bryce Harper is good for baseball. I think Jose Altuve is really good for baseball because, you know, I mean, you look at Jose Altuve, who's just a heck of a player. And it shows that you can, from whether it's background or size, it doesn't matter. If you can play, you can play.
He's fun to watch. Houston's deep. Houston's going to win. I don't know. The Yankees are tough. Oh. But the Red Sox will find a way to screw the whole thing up. But
that's my team. Way to go.
Yeah, I know. But they find a way to just, you know, whatever. Boston's resting their hopes on the Bruins now. Because what's his name's out
yeah,
for the
no,
year.
Yeah, no, the Celtics have no chance.
Yeah,
the Celtics have no chance now.
Yeah.
I mean, this year's Celtics team's going to be interesting because they're going to get Gordon Hayward back. They'll get Kyrie Irving back. It's like they got two first-round picks back to start the season.
Yeah, next year. But without them right now, they
yeah,
got
next
nothing.
Year. No, the Celtics won't get through the first round.
The Bruins are tough.
Bruins are definitely tough.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a
they're
lot of great...
good. Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's really good, too.
And I hear different hockey people. Sometimes they're putting Boston ahead of Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay ahead of Boston. So, yeah, it kind of evens out. But New Jersey, they're a scrappy team, too. So, I mean, last night at one point, the games were so tight in the NHL, you couldn't even predict, you know, who Pittsburgh was going to play in the first round. And could be Philly, could be Jersey, could be Tampa Bay, and could be Columbus. So it's going to be fun as the regular season wraps up tomorrow, and then we find out who's playing who.
They're tremendous athletes, hockey players. Tremendous. What they can do on skates, it's just amazing. I love the playoffs.
Can't wait.
I'll actually watch the hockey playoffs more so than I will the NBA playoffs. That's not that I have anything against the NBA playoffs. I just like the hockey playoffs better.
No, the NBA is too watered down, you know. The NBA, you can watch the last quarter and know what's going on. Hockey, it's just constant action, constant. Everybody wants to get their name on that cup. You know, the cup was only
and
like
not
2 miles
only that,
from
but there
here
is
one.
Nothing. Oh, it was over. I saw it at the Anfield Mall once. Anfield Square,
yeah,
Anfield
well,
Square once.
Joel Quenneville married a girl who lives right here in South Windsor. And when Colorado won the Stanley Cup, he brought it here. So, because Quenneville played for the Whalers. That's in the old days. The only cup here now is a sippy cup from 7-Eleven.
It's done a great job. All right, hey, have a great weekend.
Hey,
with a
have
Slurpee
a good
in
delay.
It.
Enjoy the Masters with your sippy cup. That's your brother.
We'll talk to you Monday.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.